Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and we are excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend, Mr. Ike Reese. You can, of course, hear Ike on afternoons, WIP in Philadelphia, 2 to 6. You can follow him on X at Ike58Reese. Ike, what up, man? How you been?
JP, I'm awesome, brother. What's up, big bro? I mean, listen. Are we friends or foe this week? What are we doing? Like what are we?
Man,
doing?
We always friends. We just the teams are foes, but we always friends, dog. Can you tell me what the hell's going on with? Can you tell us what's going on with Jalen Hurts? Nobody's talking about his injury.
Yeah, we're gonna find out today. He's speaking today. So I think we're all around here waiting here. Like everyone else is to exactly what's going on with him. I don't get a sense that he's not going to play, so he's going to play. I believe that. How effective he will be and whether or not he can be his normal self, I think really that's the big question out there is whether or not how mobile will he be Sunday in this game versus will he be stationary back there in the pocket? And I don't even know if we're going to get that answer today, but I think we'll at least find out that he's trending in the direction of playing. They like to do this whole thing with the gamesmanship and not fully disclosing what's going on. I get all of that. The Eagles are one of the best at it. But the sense I'm getting is that he'll be a go Sunday, but it's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be his normal self or whether or not he's going to have some restrictions to that that injury last week, which actually looked a lot worse. I mean, I thought – I was surprised he came back in the game, honestly, the way his knees twisted up. So, and a lot of that is adrenaline, B. You know how that is. You can get through a game based on adrenaline. He was able to do that. But then the next day or two, it starts to stiffen up and you're a lot more sore. So, it'll be interesting to see – what he's able to do today out there in practice and really his disposition at the podium when he's talking to everybody. You know, it's always hard to read him, you know, from a body language standpoint, but I think we'll get a sense of just how confident he is and whether or not he'll be able to go Sunday.
Yeah, I think Hurts's, to me, mobility is maybe the biggest storyline going into this game because for all the talk of Saquon, when Jalen's at his best, he can kill you with his legs.
Yep.
And if he can't, that changes a lot to me in this game. I don't know if you see it that way because, Ike, up with the Eagles' pass game has been kind of non-existent for a little while here.
Yeah. Yeah. In this day and age of football, JP, where it's everyone tells you it's a passing game. I mean, a passing league. That's pretty much what it is. The Eagles have sort of gone in a complete different direction. And we are a run-based offense. Depending on your perception of what you see every week, you know, some will say Jalen is doing what's asked of him, and because the Eagles are so good at running the football, he has been sort of selfless and being able to take a step back and letting that be the driving force. Some will say, well, the Eagles have sort of had to coach around some of what some may perceive as his ineffectiveness in the passing game, and this is what they had to sort of resort to. Again, that's all in how you perceive the offense.
Sure.
Me personally, they realized, I believe, during the bye week, which was like week five, seems ages ago, that the best course of action for them to go to as far as being effective offensively, cutting down on turnovers, which had plagued them the first 4 weeks of the season. Jalen had nine total turnovers, I believe, interceptions and fumbles in the first four games of the season. They wanted to dial back on that, and the running aspect, I believe, became the driving force. Now, I don't know if they envisioned the running game taking off the way that it did with Saquon to where they didn't want to deviate from it. So I'll say this. I still believe they have the ability to throw the ball if pressed into action, meaning if they need to throw the ball because they can't run, I still believe they can throw the ball. Jalen can throw the ball. We have two good receivers on the outside. Well, hell, two very good receivers on the outside in A.J. and Devontae, and a very good tight end in Dallas Goedert. That's still available to them. But I give them credit for not trying to force that and saying this is what we've done well and it's been a great formula for success. So I think they just primarily have stuck with what has worked versus saying, you know what, let's work on this passing game because we need to be explosive in the passing game and this is what we need to do in order to win. I mean, totally. It's working okay for Kansas City. I mean, it's working okay for a lot of these teams. I think their biggest thing has been if we don't turn the ball over with the way our defense is playing and the way our running game is, we're going to win the majority of the games. And that's been the formula for them. So I don't expect that to change come Sunday.
You've watched two football games these two teams have played, and you've watched this offense here in Washington. When you look at this offense now since the last time they played, what are your thoughts of Jaden Daniels and his offense?
Dude, this team has been this team, seriously, has been as advertised since about week five or week six. And I'm talking about your team, Washington. You remember, when we first played Washington, they were in first place. Like, they were the team that had been leading the NFC East and playing well. So we had to basically win that game and then sort of surpass them. But, like, Washington has been what they've shown us, which is a very good football team, a balanced football team. They can run the ball. Now, they may do it in a different manner than some other teams. The quarterback certainly is a big part of that. But I look at this offense, man, and it starts with your quarterback. I mean, that's where it starts. It starts with him. I think they put him in a great situation from a play design concept and what they're asking of him. But even more than that, I think he's taking the schemes and the X's and O's and taking it to a higher level because the level in which he's playing at the quarterback position. He's playing at a level in which you expect the elite quarterbacks to play it in this league. And that's been the most surprising thing is that no defensive coordinator has been able to come up with a defensive game plan that leaves him perplexed, that he doesn't have answers for, and it stymies the offense. I think the most time, you guys know better than me, the only time this team sort of sputtered a little bit is when he was banged up, right, with the rib injury. Like, he couldn't be his full self at that time. And so they sort of just navigated through that period the best they could, and they still wind up winning 12 games. So we have paid close attention to that team and Jaden Daniels all year long because, like I said, the first half of the season, we were trailing those guys and trying to catch up to them and really waiting for them to tell off. But they have weathered all that, and they're playing their best football right now. And I don't know if there's a quarterback in the league that's left playing that's playing better than Jaden Daniels. I'm just being honest. It's not softening anything up. It's not platitudes. It's It's the reality of the situation. The kid is playing. He's playing outstanding. He just is. He's playing outstanding.
I agree with you, man. Not body of work, like not entire body of work, but
sure,
the level of
sure.
play
he's
right
in his
now.
First
year. Yeah, of the four quarterbacks playing year. This weekend, of the four QBs playing this weekend, I think Jaden's at the top of the list, which is nuts.
Yes. Yep. I mean, that's how he's playing right now. I don't see how anybody can deny that. If you got a good pair of eyes, and I'm older, so my eyesight isn't the same, but I still see pretty good. He looks pretty damn good to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking with our friend Ike Reese from WIP up in Philadelphia. Of course, Ike played for the Eagles, played for the Falcons, Pro Bowler in Philly. Ike, I'm curious, man, another guy that might be playing at the peak of the NFL level right now is a young guy wearing green and Jalen Carter. What is he unlocked? Because all of a sudden he looks like the dude that we saw at Georgia that seemed like he could dominate.
Yeah, I think what I think he's unlocked, JP? It's okay to be great. It's okay to be great every week. It's okay to be the guy who's counted on to make the play. It's okay to be the guy that your teammates are looking at to sort of get them started on that side of the football. And that's not easy for a young player because you want to be respectful to older guys and you don't know how much to assert yourself or what have you. And I think, Jalen he's developed so much over the 2 years he's been in the league. And even when you look at just this year, his leadership and his willingness to embrace that role as, this defense is going to go as I go, right? Instead of being the guy who says, I'm just a part of the defense and I'm going along with everyone else. I think he's embraced that responsibility of being a great player and getting the party started. Like, he's embraced that and wants to be that guy. And so I think that's the light switch that has gone off in his head. And the potential has always been there. Sort of the knock on him coming out was, does he have the motor? Is the motivation there every week? Can he stay focused? And we've seen signs of that over the 2 years where he may have a lapse here or a lapse there, but something, around the middle of the season, and it may have started with playing against Washington in that Thursday night game. Like, something clicked with him where he just decided, I'm going to be the best player on the field every time I step out there. And this defense, which was playing well, has really just taken off and is being led by him. I mean, if we don't have Jalen Carter last week, I don't think we win that game. As great as Saquon was, it was the plays on defense that Jalen Carter made, forcing turnovers, the big sack late, and then the quarterback pressure on the last throw on fourth down in front of Matt Stafford. He really was a huge, big reason why we won that game last week.
I mean, he's been a monster. And, I mean, honestly, I think if Philly wins this thing this weekend, I really like Washington's chances, but that probably is a given considering. But if Philly wins this thing, I think it's got to be.
Well, considering it's a good team, it's a good matchup. I mean, both games have been close, right? I mean, both games have been close, so, yeah.
Totally.
Sometimes styles make fights. So forget about it. But it looks like on paper or what have you, these two teams are very evenly matched. They match up very well.
And I think Washington's strength is leaning on a electrifying young quarterback, and Philly's strength is leaning on that defense. Like, Saquon will be the difference maker for the Philly offense, but defensively, I feel like the Eagles are playing at a really high level, and Fangio really knows what he's doing. Bon and Dean, is Dean back? Does he look healthy? Because I know there was an injury issue.
Dean's done. No, Dean's done.
Okay.
No,
he's out. So it's Bon, and then who's – like, where are the injury impacts defensively?
I tell you, Oren Burks stepped in last week for N'Kobe Dean. We thought it was going to be split duty between Oren Burks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. But Oren Burks seemingly took the majority of those snaps out there. I don't think Jeremiah Jr. was out there very much on defense. And I give Burks credit. He made some plays, particularly in that second half, they came up in critical situations. So, and the Rams tried to take advantage of him being out there. You know, they went to Higbee a few times as a tight end to see if he could cover. And Higbee caught some balls, but Burks made some plays as well. So, I think our linebackers sort of go as our defensive line goes. If those guys up front are being disruptive and playing well, I mean, Zach Bond has just been, my God, you're talking about finding a hidden gem. I mean, no one had any idea that
he's been crazy.
Zach Bond was going to be this. Yeah, nobody had any idea he was going to be this player. So, you're talking about first team All-Pro coming from where he's come. He's been our defensive MVP along with Jalen Carter. So, I honestly believe our secondary is going to be real key for us this game, you know, because covering the Washington receivers, you know, the receivers aren't big guys, but they're quick. They do well after they catch the ball, and they don't mind catching the ball across the middle of the field. So we got to do a great job, I think, with our secondary of being able to stay attached to Terry McLaurin. I mean, Alameda Zacchaeus hurt us the last game, right? And then, you know, Brown, he has become somewhat of a factor over the last couple of games. So I think our secondary, Quinyon Mitchell, we got to see where he's at from a health standpoint and whether or not he's going to be able to play Sunday, see how effective he is. I really believe our secondary is going to have their work cut out.
You want to see if he's a real Mitchell, man. He got to play. He don't play, he's not a real Mitchell. He might be on that Freddie side instead of that Brian side.
Hey, Freddie.
The only thing – go ahead, JP. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear what you were going to say.
I'm just going to say, as it pertains to Mitchell, being a sort of related to Brian Mitchell, he is completely opposite of B. Mitchell when it comes to being an extrovert and introvert. Like B. Mitchell is an extrovert, yeah. Yeah,
Quinyon sure.
Mitchell doesn't say anything. Yeah, he doesn't say anything. Yeah, he barely hear anything. Got it, help.
And love it from that Freddie side then. I don't think you expect to be asked this question here, but – what's up with y'all mayor spelling the Eagles wrong, man? Did you see this?
Not a good look.
ELGSES. What is that? Elses? What the hell? I mean, and then the other people in the background, yeah. You can see they were like, what the hell did she just spell?
Yeah. Yeah, we sort of like, you know, B-Mitch. Sometimes we get a little too excited. And once she missed the A, there was no turning back. She didn't know where to go from. She missed the E and the A. She went to L, so she was like, oh, my God, I got to go to D-E-S. And I hope that's right. Yeah,
She said S-E-S.
Yeah, not a good look, man. That was not a good – but here, hold on. So I got to defend her a little bit because she came out and she owned up to it. She did own up to it, I believe, today or yesterday, that she says she has to make sure she gets a second chance at doing that. So, you know, I think
well,
she'll
damn,
be better
you shouldn't have to get a second chance, dog.
You got to nail that on the first try,
dude. They've only been saying the chant for however many years. You cannot miss that.
Hey, B. Mitch, JP, I'm telling you, you guys would be surprised at how many people, including former players, that mess that up on the spot. Like, we do a pregame show every week, and we have the guest come on and do the EAGLES chant. And some of the former players that come back, and you know, they do it. I'm not going to say any names, but we have at least a couple handful of guys.
Were they pregaming, though, before they say it? See, she wasn't pregaming. Were they pregaming? You know what I mean by pregaming. Were
that's
they pregaming before they messed
exactly
up?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think she was pregaming. But those former players, yeah, you know how we do. Yeah, they were pregaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were pregaming.
Ike, do you do the show with John Clark?
I do a show that's called Eagles Game Plan with John Clark.
The TV pre. Okay, because I watched that when we were up there, I guess for the Thursday nighter, I watched that the night before. Mm-hmm. It was quite good.
Mike Quick.
Yeah. Okay, cool. John, I'm very curious what you think about this. Like, I have to do a live show in Philadelphia for television Saturday night at 7 o'clock from a bar. How do you think that's going to go once they realize what the audience is?
Yeah, what bar are you doing it from?
I'm keeping that to myself for now, sir.
Keeping that to yourself right now, okay. I thought I could lure you into saying where you're going to be at. So just to make sure we give you the nice home treatment that we normally give our guests when they come here, yes.
Yo, but seriously, I know that Eagles fans are normally a very vocally confident bunch, but what is the vibe up there? Are they a little nervous about this game?
No, yes, we got a nice mixture of healthy anxiety as only we can have as Eagle fans. You're not a true Eagles fan unless you got a little bit of angst and anxiety in you about the big game.
Sure.
The bigger the game, the more the angst that we have. But then we're going to have our portion of the fans that want to stick their chest out and let everybody know that they're not concerned about Washington and we're going to win this game. You know me, I tend to lean towards the group that has some anxiety and some angst. I feel better when I have a healthy amount of respect for the opponent coming up. And so I feel like, game that can't be overlooked. This won't be an easy game. And quite frankly, I do have a little anxiety about the game. I got to be honest with you. I do. Got a little bit in me.
You sound like me. Like, as a former player, when you go into these games, we got to go out there and do our thing. But, you can't have those mistakes. And the slightest mistake can sway a game one way or the other.
Yes. Hey, B, we played in a couple of these that didn't go our way. So, you know. And you're right. So, we know what that means about being overconfident going into a game. And I've learned to respect my opponent no matter who it is. And so, Washington isn't here by accident. They won 12 games this year. This kid, late in games, he doesn't flinch. He doesn't seem to get rattled. They won late in games, final drives, and all those things. Like, those are the type of things that worry you when you're facing that type of opponent. And it's more pressure on us than it is on Washington, right? No disrespect to Washington or anything of that nature. But obviously, being the favorite and being at home, the pressure is on us to go out there and be at our best. Washington can come in and play carefree, and they've already had a successful season. So, you never know how the players are going to respond to having that type of pressure on you when you're playing at home. So, like I said, it should be a great game Sunday. I don't expect some type of blowout or some type of comfortable win. Either way, I think it's going to be fourth quarter, late in the game. Who makes the plays? Who doesn't? I think that's what it comes down to.
I can't wait for it, man. Hey, Ike, thanks for making time for us, dude.
Appreciate
we know you're busy
you, bro.
This week.
All right, no problem, guys. You know I love being on with you, B. I know I'll see you Sunday, bro.
All right, bro. Got you, babe. Talk to you later, man.
Ike Reese, WIP in Philadelphia. Give him a follow at Ike58Reese. If you want to check in with WIP, get on that Odyssey app, man. I bet those callers are fired up in the city of brotherly love. When we come back, we should be hearing from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Nobody go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Anywhere. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You know it's a big deal now when the press conferences have moved into the building from the Commanders team auditorium. Dan Quinn speaking to the media.
It's awesome, man. It's cool. So Competition Wednesday is here for us. It really kickstarts us everything into gear. And we're getting stronger as we go from the ball and our turnover margin, our tackling margin, and we're working hard at that to make sure that continues. These runs are built on fundamentals, execution, and finishing, not new schemes and, you know, that. It's absolutely, you know, how we get down. And so our team's got seeing huge, joyful smiles on their faces, whether that's a kickoff cover that goes inside the 25 or a defensive takeaway or even, you know, explosive play. And so it's a rare combination for a team to have that because they are intense and they're tough in the same way they really enjoy doing what they're doing together. So I don't think I've coached a team that had that type of balance and connection together. So it's really cool to see. And lastly, some condolences to Pete Medhurst's family. I know he meant a lot to a lot of people in this room. So I wanted to make sure, although I didn't get a chance to work with him, sound like a real football guy, and I'm sure I would have enjoyed that. So just wanted to say that, and then we'll get rocking with everything for today. So let's get it rolling.
Hey, Dan, a few rookie quarterbacks have gotten to this point, cannot get over that hump. What makes Jaden maybe more unique to maybe get beyond here?
Yeah, we don't think that way in terms of, you know, looking back at stuff, John. It's honestly just into this game, man. Like, he's got rare in-the-moment skills that have allowed us to be into this spot when it's you know, like mental chaos going down in 2 minutes in these tight moments where it could feel that tight. He's got the experience of somebody that's played a lot more football than a first year player, but we don't get into the historical stuff, man. It's just, you know, how do we get down this weekend?
And then one of the things he's done this year is he gets here really early, gets into the bubble, go through the walkthrough. How do you see all that stuff? First of all, have you ever been in there with him? But how do you see all that stuff paying off for him, whether in practice and in games?
Yeah, for all of us, I think we can appreciate a process. And his process, that is a big part of it. And so having gone through that prior to the, you know, the rest of the offensive unit going through that, there's a feeling of being a leg up and doing that type of extra work sometimes just also provides the right motivation for yourself. I've seen that look. I'm ready. You've done the work at it, so when the moment comes, you're ready to deliver. So it does come from the work. There's a side of that that just, like, he relentlessly competes. And then going through it before, you know, you get to it, it's like, here's the cliff notes before you get to the, literally, cliff notes, before you get to the, you know, to the regular install that would take place.
What have you seen from Zach Ertz this season? I know he had, you know, a couple of difficult years there, but it seems like he's really, you know, revived his love of football again. Do you sense that as well?
I definitely do. And like you said, it, as a competitor like him, when you have a dark spot, you don't know where football is going. There's injuries. There's all sorts of stuff to go. So to see him recapture that on a personal level, I have seen that. And I can relate to that, knowing that that's a journey that lots of people go through. And so to see him come out the other side and being able to share the knowledge and find, you know, not just the joy of playing, but like playing well. I had known red zone and third downs and 2 minute would be a factor, and he surpassed those and, you know, kept going on to it. So yeah, he has really applied like every bit of it, man. He wasn't going to miss this up.
You've made recovery a priority this season, having that recovery period during the days and you know, making sure players really take care of themselves. Have you seen that help guys? Have you seen it translate to where you're now deep in postseason?
Yeah, the way that we said it, like, we're going to go really hard, so we need to have recover hard as well. And so that was part of the competition and the practice style and attitude. If we were going to push it this far and this hard and this fast, there had to be a balance on the other side of that. And so it has been effective for us. And knowing that when we get to the game, man, we're really ready to go let it rip. And that's mentally, physically, just every part of it, you have to be ready to go. And so I think staying consistent by doing it week after week, Nikki, that also helps. Like, we're not changing from this week to this week of how we do things. We've really tried to stay consistent in that approach. I think that process helps the ball players too.
Dan, in this matchup, you know what Philly wants to do, and vice versa. They know what you guys want to do. So how do you find those edges, those winning edges that maybe can sway the outcome?
Yeah, I think the natural narrative, you know them and they know you, and I don't really think of it that way. You start right back at it. You know, what are fresh eyes on the games? What are fresh eyes on the times from when we played it? The easy narrative would be, hey, they know us, we know them, but it's different than that to me. This is our first time playing them in the postseason. Game one, what needs to be different? What could be the same? You know, what do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? Same thing in the second game. And so as you get into the third matchup with somebody, you want to make sure you have fresh eyes for the first two. Hey, did I miss something? And was there something there that I didn't, you know, think we had or did? And both teams will have things on their call sheets that never got called in that game. And you do have those up still that you've been practicing. And sometimes every play on your call sheet doesn't make it into the game, and you keep those alive as well.
And again, I go back to the, you know, outside these walls, again, you guys are probably considered the underdog in this matchup. Is it almost you'd prefer that at this point, knowing what you've gone through and kind of us against the world? Nobody really expected Washington to be in this situation.
We just don't let the outside narrative kind of drive it. And internally, we've got a lot of expectations about how we can play and what we do, but we never, you know, went too far outside of things. Did we feel dismissed or put off? Yeah, of course some. I think that happened in the opening game. I felt dismissive. Hey, man, hang in there. It's going to be a long time. I was like, hey, F you. You know, like, that's not how it's going to go down. And I was upset, but it wasn't disrespect. It was dismissiveness. And I felt some kind of way, but it didn't motivate me more to say, that's how they think of us. It wasn't disrespect. It was, we're going to be a lot better than what we just showed today. And eventually we'll show that. So it's not a prove it to everybody else or underdog story. It's, you know, it's how we get down. This is not a 7-game series. And so, like, we got to play our best on Sunday at 3:00. And that, to me, is the biggest factor.
What makes the Eagles' defensive front so successful, especially stopping the run out of light boxes?
combination of two things. One, let's start just, you know, from the talent standpoint inside. They've got a really deep crew of, you know, rushers, run stop, you know, kind of the whole combination. And Vic's excellent in terms of mixing the right front, the right coverage. He makes it challenging for play callers to go against. So this run look, is it not? And so that's a challenge to stay every possession you're going to feel. This, you know, you got to get this play. You got to get this one because a good play caller, they're going to change it and change it. And so you want to make sure you take advantage of your ops. So I think it's twofold. The balance of how to utilize the talent that's there combined with, you know, the scheme that he put in, because it's different than what they had done.
What have you learned about Nick Sirianni's approach and game management, you know, facing him the first two times?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, you know, because going against their team over the last few years, you know, they're aggressive. The four down football style is similar to ours in terms of being bold and aggressive. They play tough, you know, but there's not one marker that stands out to me more than another, other than, a much like last week, both teams, you know, be ready to defend all four downs, because both teams not only are willing, you know, they're both excellent at it.
Dan, you got some decisions to make on the offensive line for Sunday without going into detail about who plays where. Is
right.
there any thought given to, let's just get our best five offensive linemen out there and we'll figure it out?
Yeah, a lot of thought to that, David. And first, let's give a quick shout to Trent of coming in and really being somebody that can handle that. But yes, that is absolutely, you know, how we go about it. And that would be there at any spot. Like what I was saying earlier, like, what's the best thing for us to win this game? And then that is all there is. And so, yeah, that's really where we're at in terms of the next 3 days of our practice.
I was wondering, once the season begins, I'm sure the communication is different with Adam and with Josh than it may have been during the offseason, during OTAs. I wonder specifically, what's your communication like with Josh during the season? What is he curious about? What does he want to know about?
Yeah, well, one thing you may or may not know, this guy's a hell of a competitor. And, you know, he's a college wrestler and, you know, has, like, he loves to compete and he loves all of that. On our Mondays is a recap of the game. And so we review some of the things by the numbers, you know, decisions, what would we go, where did it go well. And then one of the things that I enjoy most about Mondays with Adam and Josh, and Bob is on the call as well, is we get to maybe show 6 to 10 plays of what were the deciding plays in the game. And so I specifically like those times as a coach, so I can show this is what we were thinking, this is what happened. And so it's a good way to highlight the player, the moment, the situation, why we chose to do what we did. And it's good because I want him to be able to ask anything. Why'd you go for it? Why did you do that? And he's curious in that way. But those calls are on Mondays, and I enjoy those. And then before the game, those are ones of game planning specifics, you know, but I've really enjoyed the Mondays, especially of follow-ups and why we do what we do. The video helped. We didn't do that on the first game, so I was trying to explain stuff and it was just clunky. And let's do the video together too. And so that to me has been something, you know, wherever that meeting has taken place all over the world, and they literally have been, I've really enjoyed that. And I know there's some times where it's, you know, the daylight is different where he is than where I'm at. And I really respect that he always has time for Adam and I.
That is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Little nugget there maybe about the offensive line. Something to watch, but media doesn't actually get to watch any practice, especially not this week. We get to watch people stretch. Nobody go anywhere. Daryl Green joins the program at 1 o'clock. All right, B. Mitch and Finley. Daryl Green joining us in 10 minutes right here on the program. B, Trent Scott played pretty well last week in Detroit.
Yep.
DQ not tipping his hand at all about what he's going to do, but just that they want their best five players.
Yeah.
Some are going to make an assumption that means maybe you kick Wiley inside from right tackle to right guard, and then you put Cornelius Lucas on the field at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you making that assumption?
Nope. I think that Trent did well for himself last week by the way he played, and he may start off this week. Now, if he's not playing well, then they may adjust some things. But I think ultimately, whoever is playing that right guard position, when you go to block Jalen Carter, some double teams may be necessary. When you look at his stats when he's double teamed, doesn't play as well. And that's understood. But if you let's go one-on-one with him, he's a one-man wrecking crew. So they got to figure out a way to get him off his game.
Yeah.
And whether that's Scott or whoever's out there and start doing well, they will stay. If Scott goes in and he's playing well, I don't think he leaves the field. If it becomes a problem, the coach has to make an adjustment.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I loved what DQ said about, you know, playoff runs like this are about execution and fundamentals.
Yeah.
It's not about some new scheme. Like, there's a reason these practices are short, because they know what they're in, like the install period is
they know what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And like last week, Watson went in and did what they do. You know what I mean? Detroit tried to change up some stuff and become somebody new. It didn't work for them. Washington kept going with their what got you here? Why would you play 17, 18 weeks of football, 19 weeks of football, and then all of a sudden in a 28 week change? Makes no sense, right?
Totally. I also think Dan Quinn and the Washington PR staff, like, just the way they've, for Dan Quinn to open his presser, just, you know, sending condolences to Pete Medhurst's family,
class.
I thought was a very classy move.
Class.
Yeah.
Class.
I agree with that. I think, I don't know. These guys are all excited, as they should be. I think there's real juice in the building. And there should be. I think, I saw this, and maybe I shouldn't get, as much as I preach just to ignore stuff, I did get sucked into a little bit of a rabbit hole. Elliot Shore Parks works for WIP in Philly. And he put out this, can you see this, B? Eagles versus Commanders, kind of tail of the tape, right? And we do something similar all the time. And I retweeted this, so if you want to see it, you can see it at JP Finley, NBCS. I think he's correct at saying the Eagles have a significant advantage at running back. And I think he's correct saying the Eagles have a significant advantage at O-line.
Mm-hmm.
I think, frankly, I'm a little surprised the advantage at D-line isn't a wider gap. I think the gap at quarterback should be wider. And I think that gap at head coach is laughable.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I
but what do you expect?
I think tight end should be a little tighter.
If you get it from there, what you expect.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Let's be real about it, man.
Right. That's why I'm not wasting too much time on this. I just find it interesting. I am curious if, like, who's impartial? White Bryan's actually impartial because he's a Giant fan in all this.
He don't like none of the teams.
Right, but, like, he deals with both teams frequently. White Bryan, who do you think is the better coach between Dan Quinn and Nick Sirianni?
I would give Dan Quinn the slight nod.
Landfill?
Dan Quinn.
Brian and...
I don't even have to answer. You know what I think.
Yeah, me too, dude. I think Sirianni is in a great space because Howie Roseman is really, really good at amassing talent. And frankly, I think they've been through so much BS with Sirianni that they don't want to mess with it and admit they made a mistake with the coach. So they're just riding it out. Like, barring him fist fighting a cheerleader or something, I think he's proven enough that there's not much that they're going to make a move on. Let's not waste any time. Daryl Green joins us next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.